Are you ready for the word? This is going to be a powerful time in God's word. Not because I have anything to do with it, because it is so Christ-centered. I wish you could have been in the study with me this week. Because this is so about Jesus, the anointing of the Spirit was so strong in the study that I'm convinced after this service, the Holy Spirit's going to be here to say, yes, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, there's a lot of issues, a lot of questions. A lot of people who use your name as a cuss word. Some people think you're just a good teacher. But today, we are examining a very important question. Jesus, are you God? There's young people out here that have got to find foundation for how they're going to build their life. And we pray in the next few moments that the Holy Spirit would be the teacher and make Jesus real. I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. We're exploring God with some of the most important questions of our generation. Probably every generation. Week one was, does life have a purpose? You may want to go online and listen to these teachings, these questions. In fact, you could listen to mine on the Dunwoody campus audio. Pastor Dave Devine is covering these same questions much differently than me. So by going to hear him, you're hearing the same question, but in a different approach. Question number one was, does life have a purpose? Do you really have that secure in your toolbox? The week after that was, is there a God? The week after that, real tough question. How can a good God allow so much pain and suffering on the earth? Last week was, is Christianity too narrow? Is it too small? Next week, don't miss it. It's going to be one of the most important messages and questions that you will explore. It is this. Is the Bible really reliable? If you can get that in your heart and have confidence that God has spoken through His Word and walk through your culture, you will walk in confidence and the favor of the Lord will be strong upon your life. And then we're going to close out with this question, can I have a personal relationship with God? But today is a very, very crucial message. It's the question of, is Jesus really God? Is Jesus really God? This question is primary for Christian living. It's foundational for being a Christ follower with your days. Is Jesus really God? Was he just a good teacher? Did he have some good principles? Was he a great guy? Or was he God in the flesh? Now, I want to say this about Jesus. From the get-go, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, when we talk about Jesus, I want you to get this really clear. Jesus was not half man and half God. He was fully man, and he is fully God. The virgin birth is so central to the Christian message because that makes it possible. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. There is no part about being human that Jesus was not. Your temptations, your pains, your questions, your battles, the attacks from hell that you have on your life, there's no part about being human that Jesus was not. And there's no part about being God that Jesus is not. So when you bow your shoulders and you walk through your culture and you say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and you're like my chiropractor that's here today. Gail and I and Daly stumbled into a chiropractic practice up on Peachtree, and we couldn't believe it because Dr. Wajaya, the doctor there, was a young lady that was in our church in Fort Lauderdale Christian Life Center when we used to hold revivals, and now she's here having a wonderful practice. And my heart swelled because I went into that practice, a public office. The music was blaring through the speakers, worship and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And without reservation, she created this business. When you walk into my zone, I want you to know Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when you're getting a little bit of an adjustment in your spine, your spirit man is hearing her say, I'm not ashamed to say, I believe Jesus is God in the flesh. She's saying it with her business. And I want to join this doctor and say, I have looked at the issues and I boldly confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is God in the flesh, and I am not ashamed to call him Savior and Lord. In any forum or debate or question I have, my answer is this: yes, Jesus is God. Somebody praise him in the house right now. So let me ask this question. If someone is going to be called God, then there's some attributes that God has to have. I want to tell you why Jesus got crucified. John chapter 5, Jesus walks into a courtyard of some disabled people, and his compassion was just overwhelming in his heart. And he walked up to this pool of Bethesda where people have been suffering, and there's a man there laying for 30-some-odd years. Jesus asked him, have you ever had the opportunity to be healed? He says, no, the waters move too quickly. And Jesus spoke to him out of compassion for those that were physically challenged. And he says, take up your bed and be healed. There was only one problem with that. Jesus did that on the Sabbath day. And when Jesus healed that man on the Sabbath day, the authorities, the religious authorities, brought him in John chapter 5, verse 16, and you look at this verse. And because Jesus was working on the Sabbath, the religious leaders began to really get after him. And in the Lord's defense, he said, listen, my Father is always at work. He's always working. And I'm just working with my Father. Everything he tells me to do, I'm going to do. And when he said that he was working in total unity to God, the leaders went irate. They began to persecute him more, because look what the text says. Because they wanted to kill him, as we move on, because not only was he working and healing on the Sabbath, but he was making himself equal. Everyone say the word equal. Equal with God. Jesus did not get crucified because he was a teacher of great principles or because he was a kind humanitarian. Jesus was crucified because he said, the Father and I are one. So when you make that movement, Jesus is God, watch out, because you will be challenged. People will look at you and say, are you sure? And this is what I want to say to you in the next few minutes. So pull up to the table of the Lord. If Jesus is God, then he has to have a certain grouping of attributes, because only someone with these attributes would even be considered as God. Is he omnipotent? Yes. Jesus is God because he is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's not limited. Anyone that is God has to be powerful, all powerful. Matthew chapter 8, the disciples were in a dilemma like some of you have been in this week. I know. My family's been in it just a little bit too. The disciples were in the boat, John, Matthew chapter 8, and out of nowhere, storm clouds started coming and life's waters got real choppy. They got so choppy that they began to get turbulent, to like, oh man, we don't know if we're going to make it. And the waters were coming over the boat. Jesus is God because he's all powerful. And And the disciples saw the calm of Jesus. And they began to say, Jesus, wake up. How can you be so calm? Wake up. And Jesus woke up. And you know the story. But this story is so important because it speaks of how powerful he is. How omnipotent Jesus is. Because Jesus, to be God, has to be powerful. And Jesus got up and yawned. Oh! And the little storm that's come your way, darling, this week, and the rough waters of questions about how this lake is going to be maneuvered daily, Jesus got up and he opened his mouth very peacefully and he said, winds, shh. And he rebuked the winds and the waves, and he came up with that statement that you see on t-shirts, stay calm and carry on. And when he said, winds and waves, be quiet, and the disciples saw that even the wind knows his name, and the waves salute him and bow down to his sovereignty, they looked at each other and said, who are we in the boat with? Even weather bows down to what he says. And ladies and gentlemen, young couples, students, if you're here and you're walking through a culture with winds and waves and you don't know what's coming or you don't know what's around the corner, may I give you confidence? Stand with Jesus Christ every step of the way, because he's the one that can speak to the uncertain currents coming your direction, and he has power to say, waves, be still. He is all-powerful. Hallelujah. And as you walk with him, you will make it safely to the other side. If that's not enough to let you know Jesus is all-powerful, only God can do that. I remember when I was in Little League Baseball, and I had my little Bank of Darnell suit on. It was, 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm ready for a 5:30 game. Man, I'm ready. And it was just pouring down. And I'm sitting on my porch in Darnell, Arkansas, and a self-pity comes all over me. And I'm thinking, man, a little boy only has so many Little League baseball games. And how could a good God allow rain to come and rain out one of my important games? Felt the same way as a quarterback in high school going to Mena, Arkansas to play in the district championship. We ran the option, and it was finesse and pitch and fake and run, sleet and rain and cold and ice. And I thought, of all days, to have ice everywhere I turn. The field is slick. The power game's going to win, not the finesse game. And it was like, I wish I had control over the weather. I don't. You don't. But Jesus Christ does. And he is God because he is omnipotent. Somebody give him praise right now. He is God. But if someone's going to be God, not only should he be powerful, he should be omniscient. He should know a whole lot. Now, you work around intelligent people. In fact, I'm so proud of everyone in this church. You're articulate. You're smart. You have great people skills. You're going somewhere. You've worked hard. The excellence of your craft is shown all over your life. But as smart as you are and as brilliant and as much as you've achieved, Jesus is worthy to be declared deity because he is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He knows a lot. In fact, in John chapter 1, Jesus was calling his disciples, and he picked a guy named Philip, and Philip was so excited to meet the Messiah, and he ran in another community, and he met this guy named Nathaniel. And he walked up to Nathaniel and said, Nathaniel, you got to come see this guy. Nathaniel was sitting under this fig tree, and he said, this guy, he's just amazing. There's something about him. He's all human, and he's real, and he's compassionate, but there's something beyond that. You got to come see it. So Nathanael from another community comes to see Jesus. And look at John chapter 1, verse 47. As Nathanael is walking up, Jesus knows how to meet people. Jesus sees this total stranger walking up to him, and he says, "Everyone, look at this wonderful Jewish young man. He is a star in our community." And as he was approaching, Jesus said, "He's a true Israelite." And he makes a statement about Nathanael's inner world. This is a young man. Note that Jesus had never met him. This young man has no guile, King James, or no lie. He's an honest guy. He's not a bitter guy. He's not a victim, mad at the world guy. He had a pure heart, and it was like Jesus was reading his mail, and he had never met him. And in Nathanael's secret world, he had had so many opportunities to lie and be disingenuous and con people, but he tried to tell the truth, and he stood up for being honest, and at times he paid the price for that, but he had that peace that he was always good to his word. And when Jesus came up and identified, "I want you to look at that man because he's a truth teller and he's not a bitter guy," Nathanael said, "How in the world did you know my heart? How did you know my value system? How do you know what goes on inside of me?" And Jesus, "Oh, no big deal. Besides knowing your heart, I saw you before Philip walked up to you over there under that fig tree." And as soon as Jesus released the Lord's omniscience about where Philip had been before he came up to see Jesus, look what Philip said. "You are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Ladies and gentlemen, that's two statements about the lordship and deity of Jesus. You are the Son of God, and you are the King of Israel. I want you to know, when you come into grips with the knowing and the omniscience that Jesus has concerning your life and your future, it buckles you, because you've got to know he's more than just a good guy. He's more than just a good teacher. He is God, because he is omniscient. He knows everything. Now, I want to tell you something. This verse keeps going on, and stay with me. And Jesus was kind of laughing at Nathanael, because Nathanael was so impressed because Jesus was able to see his future. But he said, "Hey, if you think that's something, look at the text as I share it. I know about the future. I not only know about your past, I know about your future. You're really going to be blown away when I tell you what I know is coming. One of these days, you're going to see heaven open up, and the Son of Man is going to be there, and angels are going to come in through the heavens, and you are going to see that I knew you yesterday, I know you now, and I know you tomorrow." Ladies and gentlemen, it is a joy to confess with my lips what I believe in my heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knew my yesterdays, he's with me now, and I'm going to follow him into my future, and I will stand confident. Hallelujah. He knows what tomorrow's going to bring. So he's all powerful. He speaks and the waves listen. He's omniscient. He knew you in your yesterday, and he loved you still. Right now, he's reaching for you right now to make this morning a powerful God-building moment, because your present tense is so important to him right now. The Lord led you here today. And he knows your future as you walk in God's will. And Sarah, he's just so into your future. We're just so into your future. And just trust the God that's been so faithful to you. He's going to guide you into your future. Okay, darling? Okay? He knows your future. But not only is a God is all-powerful, Jesus is worthy to be called God in the flesh, because he really is omnipresent. Now, I want to say this, because remember when Jesus was leaving, he says, "I got to go away. Because if I don't go away, I can only be here at one place at one time. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And even though I'm going to be in the throne room ever interceding for you, Donna, I'm going to be praying for you, the Holy Spirit is going to make my presence so known everywhere that it will be an exact duplicate as if I was standing here with you. And notice that Jesus is worthy for you to go into your culture, and when people are using his name as a cuss word and making fun of him, I would encourage you to say, I'm a believer. I'm a Christ follower, and live like one before them. Because his presence is everywhere. Notice what Matthew chapter 18, 19 says. You know this verse, but it talks about the omnipresence of Jesus. It says this, again I tell you, he must have told him that several times. If two of you will agree as touching one thing, what's going to happen? I'll be there in the midst. And whatever you ask shall be done by your Father as you pray according to my word and your will. And read this verse 20 with me very boldly. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been out of town, maybe on the other side of the country, and you met maybe on the West Coast, East Coast, somewhere in between, maybe in another country, somewhere that you'd never met before, but when you met them, you could tell that they were a Christ follower? Come on. And it was like, boom, like instant buddies. This common trip to Calvary, the common joy of having your shame removed by the blood of Jesus, this common Holy Spirit that bubbles up in your heart like rivers of living water, and you don't know that person from Adam, but yet the moment you meet him, there is something so common to you. It's like you've known him your whole life. What's going on? It's the presence of Jesus in their life. And Jesus is saying, you go to a small group, group link, and you go to a small group, and if that small group leader welcomes the presence of Jesus into that small group, the same presence of Jesus that was there talking to those disciples will be felt in that small group. And the small group can be here, there, over there, here, there, and the same omnipresence of Jesus can be there as two or three agree as gathering in his name. And the power of the Lord's presence, the same peace, the same authority, the same truth, the same compassion, the same connection, the same community. Somebody praise the Lord with me. Jesus is there wherever we gather in his name. And not only is he there when we meet in little small groups or meet another believer that we've never met before. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19? He said this, go on a go trip. Go to Costa Rica. Go to Tanzania. Go to Israel. Go into all the world. And as you go in any generation, to any nation, guess what you're going to find? I'm going to go with you. My presence is going to be there. You're going to show up and you're going to feel the same Jesus that you got to know in Atlanta. You're going to meet in Europe and you're going to meet in Africa and you're going to meet in Asia. And Alex, help me out. You'll meet in India. Hallelujah. Because wherever you are, I will be with you to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Because he's God. And he's omnipresent. Well, let's close this thing down. What does he have to be for you to say, Jesus is God? Colossians 2:9. One of my favorite prayer warriors says that Jesus is the fullness of deity in bodily form. Jesus came, born of a virgin, completely you. Not half human, completely human, but completely God. All powerful? Yes. Check it. All knowing? Check it. Omnipresent? Hunter, what about this one? Check it. If you're going to be God, you've got to be immortal. I want to tell you, Jesus is worthy for you to call him Savior and King, because death can't hold Jesus down. I'm mortal. I go out there and throw pass routes to kids in the streets of 285. I'm a goner because I'm human. But Jesus was human, but he was God. And Satan was so tickled that he thought he was going to get rid of this messenger from heaven, but put him in the grave, and demons and devils were having a party. But they made a mistake. They didn't know that you can't keep anyone that's never sinned in the grave. Hallelujah to his name. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul's writing. This is a very early document, and I want to encourage you. I'm so glad you're here, but next week, this is important, but next week is everything hinges on, is the Bible reliable? And we're going, this is what I'm going to do next week. There's a noted atheist by the name of Sam Harris that a lot of our millennials are listening to. And I've listened to his statement against why we shouldn't be followers of Jesus or believers in God. And I'm going to take what he's saying, I'm not going to call it attack, but his framework of why we shouldn't trust the Bible, what Sam Harris is saying, and then we're going to say, now this is why we can have confidence in the Scripture. How many of you want to have confidence in the Word of God? You need to be here. Bring here someone next week. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's one of the most powerful words. It's one of the earliest verses in the whole New Testament. In fact, if you'll read it, it says, it's talking about communion and the first Eucharist and the Lord's Supper. And then Paul, at the end of talking about that communion, he says, and when Jesus was raised from the dead, there were 500 people who saw him after he was raised. Go ahead to that next line. 500. And Paul's saying, some of them have passed, but it's been a few years. We'll talk about that next week. But most of them, you can go see them. Let them tell you their story. And they will tell you, even if it means suffering and being persecuted and beheaded and tortured, that they are so confident that they saw Jesus while he taught, while he was crucified, dead, and after he was raised from the tomb, that they are willing to lay down everything they have and lay down their life and be separated from their families for the testimony that their Savior Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. To him be glory and honor forever and evermore. And the final thing that I would strongly say that would prompt you to say Jesus is God, it's because if you ever step into his presence, whether you're a believer or not, whether you've been walking pure or you're filled with toxins, just think about it. Do you think that if Jesus Christ would come from behind those curtains and you were standing on your feet and you looked at him, I don't care if you just think he was a good teacher or philosopher, you would be so moved by his person and so moved by his presence that your knees would start to shake. You would begin to tremble. You would begin to get faint just for the mere fact that you're in the very room with Jesus Christ. And I want you to know he is God because of this factor. He is worthy of worship, and only God is worthy to be declared great and holy and pure and powerful. He is God because he's worthy of praise. You don't have to be a Christian to get in the presence of the Lord and know that you need to worship him. Let's go to John 18. Judas has got his crew, and Judas knows where Jesus prays. Do you have a place where you meet God and the power of God sits on that place? You're in one right now. You're in a place where the power of God is released all through the week in prayer. You live in a hellhole and at work, and you have all kinds of distractions, but I want you to know, you will not come to Chapel Hill. You will not come to Chapel Hill Dunwoody unless there's been prayer going all week in this room just to saturate the atmosphere with the glory and the power of His presence. So when you get here, you have something waiting for you to energize you, inspire you, and cause you to be motivated to go out and do a work for His kingdom. The place. Judas knew where this place was. He says, come on, I know where he hangs out. I know where he does his thing. And Judas got the soldiers and the religious leaders, and they had their swords and they had their torches and their weapons, and they walk out there. And I want you to look at this next verse, because there's three things that speak of his deity, and then we're done. They walk out there, and Jesus kind of gets ahead of them. And Jesus knows what's going to happen to him. He said, who is it? What do you want? Hang with me. Okay, we're landing the ship. And they, who is it? What do you want? Jesus of Nazareth. We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And in linkage to Moses being told by Almighty God, go tell Pharaoh, I am is sending you. Jesus said, I am He. Link it. Straight line. Moses, tell Pharaoh and the culture of bondage, I am that I am is sending you to set the captives free. And when Jesus, knowing there's His ability to know, omniscience, His knowing what they were looking for, Jesus knows. I am He. Look what happened. Judas, soldiers, religious leaders, recognizing they were in His presence, pop, 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 pop. Begin to fall. Begin to wilt. Begin to start. And they weren't even Christ followers. Because when you come into the presence of Jesus Christ, He is God. He is God in the flesh, and He loves you so much. He walked through every attack of hell and faced every trial of man just so you'll have a perfect bridge to the Father and so you could live with Him for eternity. He is God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh. He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And Revelation chapter 5 says this, when you get in the room with Him, every creature, Revelation 5:13 says, will gather around the throne of God. You'll be there. It says people that are on the earth or under the earth are in the sea. All creatures will gather around the throne, and He will make His entrance, and every living creature will say, praise and honor and glory and holiness be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because when you get in a room with Jesus, you have to bow and you have to worship Him, because He's God. So in the difficult question of your culture, does life have a purpose? Is there a God? How can a good God allow bad things to happen to good people? Is Christianity too narrow? Is the Bible reliable? Can you have a personal relationship with God? When it comes to the question that you have to make up your mind, is Jesus a liar or is He Lord? Is He God? I shared with you my testimony, and I join you to join the thousands throughout the history and the millions that have come to that question and said, He settled it for me. He's all powerful. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's immortal, and he is worthy to praise. I will serve him, and he is my Savior, and he is my Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. You're here right now, and you say, you know, I believe that God loved this world so much that he sent his only son to become completely human. All the while, he was completely God. So I could have a relationship with God Almighty through the precious cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And it's all about the blood of Jesus. You're here right now, and there's a lot of us here that you said, Pastor Danny, I've allowed compromise and sin and failure to creep into my heart, and I know God has not called me to a life of guilt. I was not created to live with guilt, and I can't remove it from myself, but the power of the cross can remove this sin. And today, I want the cleansing power of Christ to wash my sins away. I want to surrender my life anew and afresh to Christ. I know it's going to take an act of faith and humility, but if that's your quest in your heart, I want you to humble yourself, and at the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand to heaven right now. Just raise it. Thank you. Just keep it up there for a moment. Thank you. Thank you.